Ali Mirage on LBC, 3 minutes past two. Now, I want to talk in this final hour about love and marriage and civil partnerships and getting together and all that stuff, but particularly prenuptial agreements. This story in the FT Weekend caught my eye. Prenups, it's time we changed the law. Let me give you a flavour of this. When Peter got married, he was acutely aware of the financial disparity between him and his fiancée. Bringing considerable personal wealth into the marriage, he instructed his lawyers to draw up a prenuptial agreement to safeguard assets in the event of a divorce. The timeline, however, was tight for the 46-year-old businessman, who has not given his real name. The wedding was brought forward so his fiancée's terminally ill father could attend, leaving just 6 weeks to finalise the prenup. His fiancée initially refused to sign the first version, but after it was softened, she relented. During their divorce, Peter's wife successfully argued that she was in no mental state to sign due to her father's illness, and the court awarded her a large financial settlement. Peter believes the legal system failed him. Prenups in the UK are worthless, he says now. If anything at all can interfere with them, such as emotions, timing, external pressures, they're not worth the paper they're written on, he said. Today, he's down on marriage altogether. Honestly, I can't think of a good reason to get married if you have any wealth. It's all at risk, he says. I bitterly regret it. I should have had a child with my partner, as she is the most precious thing in the world to me, but not married her mother. Now, I think this is really, really interesting, this whole conversation about prenuptial agreements and indeed even postnuptial agreements after you've got married, trying to work out how you would divide your assets in the event of a separation, a divorce. And I think it's really interesting for a few reasons. One is that this doesn't seem to be applying simply to billionaires anymore. It's also, as people are getting married later in life, acquiring a bit of wealth themselves, being a lot more concerned about this and being a lot more savvy about how they should protect the assets that they have before coming together. And indeed, Robert Buckland, who was former Justice Secretary, wrote a piece about this in February 24, talking about this exact thing and also citing a statistic that 60%, more than 60% of people polled are planning who are planning to propose this year will consider a prenup as part of wedding planning. This was according to a YouGov national survey. And it also seems that if you think this is just people of a certain age that have got a bit of wealth stashed away, you're wrong, because it also seems to be the case that the research found that 76% of Gen Z and millennials agree that prenups are a wise and practical choice. So I want to ask you this. Should prenups be legally binding? Should prenuptial agreements or prenups be legally binding? 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Ask Alexa to send a comment to LBC. I want to hear from you. If you are on the path to get married or to have a civil partnership, have you found the one of your dreams? If so, have you thought about having a prenuptial agreement? I would like to hear from you. If you are already married and things have got a bit rocky and you may be on the way to a separation or divorce, sadly, do you wish you had had a prenup before you tied the knot? Are you thinking about a post-nup now? And has your attitude to this changed over time based on your own experience and perspective? Has that changed over time? I also want to hear from you. Of all ages, frankly, Gen Z, millennials, older listeners as well, I want to hear from all of you about your perspectives on this, because I'm not sure that age has got anything to do with this. I think attitudes generally are shifting. And I tell you, I was at a dinner at the wonderful Girdler's Hall, livery company dinner on Thursday evening, and I was sitting one seat away from a guy who was a solicitor who deals with prenuptial agreements. That is his job. And he told me that business was sadly booming. Should prenups be legally binding? 0345 6060 973, text 84850. Joining me to discuss this is Neil Russell, family law partner at Seddon's GSC. Neil, thank you for joining me. What is a prenuptial agreement?
Well, firstly, good afternoon and thank you. A prenuptial agreement is an attempt, I use that word purposely, an attempt to decide what the distribution of assets should be on the breakdown of a marriage, so that you're not just left in the sways of arguments over what should be. You've predicted and provided for what should be the distribution of assets on the breakdown of a marriage.
Does it have the legal force of law in England and Wales? Because I understand that Scotland is different. Can you just talk us through the legal enforceability of such an agreement?
Well, the first thing is no agreement can oust the court's jurisdiction to determine what the financial settlement should be. So even absent a prenuptial agreement, you go and see your solicitor, or you do your financial arrangements on your own without solicitors engaged. Then when it comes to having the agreement provided into a court order, the court is not a rubber stamp. So what the court will do, require the parties to make full financial disclosure in an abbreviated form. A judge will look at the agreement reached between the parties and determine whether or not that agreement should be approved.
Now, if that is indeed the case, is the law as it is currently drafted in England and Wales providing sufficient protection to people who draft prenups? Because if it's not going to override the decision of a court that takes into account all of this, what is the point of having one in the first place?
Well, that leads on to the fact that since the case of Rademacher and Gratitino 15 years ago in October 2010, the leading proposition from that case is the court should give effect to a nuptial agreement that it is freely entered into by each of the parties with a full appreciation of its implications, unless in the circumstances prevailing, it would not be fair to hold the parties to that agreement. Now, then in 2014, the Law Commission report provided sort of some headings that we should or must comply with to improve the chances of a prenuptial agreement being upheld. And firstly is the formality requirement, which includes that the parties have their signatures witnessed and signed off as a deed. The timing requirement, ordinarily the agreement should be signed not less than 28 days
before the marriage. Right.
The disclosure requirement, and that is that the parties are required to provide full financial disclosure of their assets so that the parties can understand what they're signing up to, what they're waiving. The advice requirement, that each party should obtain independent legal advice, that the agreement is valid and enforceable as an agreement, and neither party has made any undue representations. And really importantly, it's signed without any undue influence.
But this is all fine, and I understand all this, Neil. But ultimately, I mean, the Court of Appeal just this week handed down a judgment on a high-profile dispute between Simon Entwistle and Jenny Helliwell. The dispute, despite signing a prenup on the day of their wedding, stating that neither would make any financial claims, this financial trader challenged the terms of an agreement and claimed for $2.4 million from his wife, whose fortune was estimated at $60 million. And the judge initially awarded Entwistle $400,000 to meet his needs, but then he appealed. So this is all causing confusion. It's not really certain, is it, what you're going to get?
No, nothing is certain. However, two of the key factors that you referenced in this case, one is that it was signed on the day of the marriage, which is not in accordance with the Law Commission's report, which should be not less than 28 days.
I see. Yep.
Secondly, it shouldn't have been, in terms of the disclosure requirement, the wife failed to disclose nearly 73% of her assets.
Right, I see. So there is a technical issue there. And the point about not signing on the day of the wedding is that when you're walking up the aisle, you should not be having any duress of signing this agreement in that sort of situation. How does the law in Scotland differ? Because I understand it's more robust over there.
Well, for example, insofar as maintenance is concerned on divorce, you have, I think, maintenance up to a period of 3 years. That's it, unless there are very exceptional circumstances to enable maintenance to continue. We don't have a fixed period for the purposes of defining how long the maintenance order should be. just if I may, is since the year 2000, following the case of White and White, our starting point in determining the distribution of assets is equality.
Right.
Unless there is good reason to depart from equality. And what we look at are concepts of sharing, compensation, and needs.
Okay.
And one of the main purposes of a prenuptial agreement is to, often in wealthy families or even not so wealthy families, is to disapply the sharing principle so that needs are met, because needs are always going to be met.
I see. In your experience, Neil, are you seeing a growing number of inquiries from clients coming to you for prenups in recent years?
Considerably so.
Why is this? What's driving this, Neil?
Well, there's a conflicting awareness. On the one hand, people think prenuptial agreements, they're upheld and they will be they'll guarantee the outcome.
Yep.
And on the other, for the other reason why they don't come to you is because people still think that they're not worth the paper they're written on.
So interesting.
What you also have in cases where Bank of Mum and Dad have provided for a child to buy a family home.
Yep.
Or to buy their own first property.
Yes.
And, you know, for Mum and Dad and for the child, that might be the biggest capital contribution they're going to have almost in their beginning of their lives.
Yes.
And the family home is treated as a very special place in a marriage.
Mm.
And the starting point could otherwise be, after a breakdown of a marriage, after a year or two, that the spouse says, hang on a minute, family home, special circumstances arise in relation to that property, I want half.
Ouch. I mean,
exactly. And even if it's not half, it could be a considerable sum that can't necessarily be replenished. Prenup is good.
But Neil, before I let you go, I mean, what is the offensive element to saying, look, if you're coming together with someone and you're, I don't know, you might be a bit older, let's say, not necessarily older, because a lot of people might be acquiring wealth when they're very young, but let's say you're a little bit older and you've got a house and, you know, you've got some assets and you both got these things. What is the offensive thing about actually codifying this up front and saying, if we unfortunately ever split up, everything that we earned and had before the point at which we met is off limits? I mean, what's the issue with that, conceptually?
There is no issue with that. If you stop there at the end, if I answer the question succinctly, is there anything wrong with that? No. But you have to look in the wider context. We haven't had family law reform in relation to financial remedies.
Mm.
Well, the last statute we have is 1973, which the Section 25 of that sets out what factors the court should take into account.
Yep.
And now that has changed over the years because of the way in which society has changed over the years.
Yep.
Women work much harder
in the
economy these days.
Yes, correct.
Fathers often spend more time looking after their children.
Right.
So the social economic place has changed. And this framework that we work in with discretionary factors, of which, for example, a prenuptial agreement might now be of magnetic importance, whereas years ago it would have had no importance.
Yes. And let me just ask you this, because you raised this thing about women now in the workforce more. Are these prenups instigated more by men or by women? Is it changing over time? Are you seeing
it change? It's both. It's both nowadays.
Really interesting. Thank you so much, Neil, for educating us. Lots to unpick there. Neil Russell there, family law partner at Seddon's GSC. I find this really interesting. I mean, years and years ago, when I met someone...